Hello, friends. This is the Questions Podcast. It's episode 133 on Maudy Thursday.
Ooh.
That's kind of like a big deal.
Maudy, is that like
Maudy?
Something New Orleans?
It's not naughty. It's no? Maudy.
Groovy.
It's not Monday Thursday. Maudy Thursday.
Oh, now.
This is the day. This is the day that we celebrate. Well, that one was Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Eucharist. The night that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. The night that scoundrel, Judas, dipped to the bread.
Stinking Judas.
What you do quickly.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, 40 pieces.
Judas.
Yeah.
That's not a name that's in vogue anymore, is it?
No.
Hey, it's my son Judas.
Yeah.
Really?
Adolf's like another one that doesn't come out light.
Yeah.
I think Caitlin has fallen out of favor too lately.
We almost named our third daughter
Caitlin. I'm glad you didn't.
And we were happy too.
Mm. Shall we tell people what they're going to get this week?
There's definitely some spiritual minty freshness.
And I'm afraid it may be overshadowed.
I don't think you need to be afraid.
Of the cold-blooded love.
I think people like the cold-blooded love.
Full strength, extra crispy.
High proof.
Oh,
cask strength.
Man.
Cask strength, cold-blooded love. That's what it is.
Oh, man.
It comes in bottles?
135 proof.
Wait,
cold-blooded love.
It comes in pints?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Dude. Yeah.
It is. It is Passion Week. We had the great celebration of the killing of the rats the last 48 hours.
Ratmageddon. You know,
I've had some questions from some newcomers to our church.
Oh,
what is Ratmageddon?
It's good and bad. So
let's just say that there are a lot of vermin.
So
around this area,
there are, because of our proximity to a bunch of acacia that our friends at Caltrans planted.
Is that what gives them shelter?
The rats give them shelter.
Why do they like acacia?
It's a place for them to hide. And there's evidently, and then rats also like water, which is water in the drainage there and things like that. And so, it's like a rat breeding ground.
And they find their ways into the sanctuary.
Yes.
And they find their ways into the youth ministry room, and they find their ways into everything. And they, for some reason, they eat fiber optic cable.
Yes, they love fiber optic cable.
Which happens to be very expensive, fiber optic cable.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so weird that they chew through fiber optic cable.
Yeah.
We got them back this week.
Yes. So this was Jason and Nick's invention,
I believe. Yeah.
And, if the Lord gives you lemons,
make lemonade.
So if the Lord gives you rats, also we call them Satan's helpers.
Create a youth outreach.
Yes. So they created a youth outreach called Ratmageddon. And each student.
We've been doing this for how many years now? It's got to be at least 10 years.
Yes, because it was invented whilst I was here. So, 9, 10 years. And each student gets their own rat traps with their name on it.
Actually, two.
Oh, two. Is that the deal now?
I think it was two rat traps.
Okay.
Well, we have a lot of rats this year.
Right. And they get their own, they come up with their own concoction for bait. So there's competition there.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
So I saw salami, cheese, peeps, whatever they come up with. Peanut butter seems to be.
Yeah. Rats like peanut butter.
Who wouldn't like a peanut butter?
I like peanut butter.
Yeah. So they put those out with their names on them.
Yeah.
And they keep score on to how many rats they get over a 24-hour period.
Uh-huh.
And
actually, I think they set the traps on Sunday.
You're correct.
And it was between Sunday and Wednesday.
Right. And the Garrett and Nick were checking the traps to, and so 32 rats.
32 rats. I heard two mice.
Two mice.
And two birds.
Up one possum.
One possum.
And one bird. Now, you get points deducted if you catch a bird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like the go to jail.
Oh, really?
Because it's been a thing. I think it's still a thing.
Negatory.
Lose a point if you get a bird.
Wow.
It's not their fault, but I think it's just part of the randomness of it to keep it.
PETA is going to be so darn mad at us.
They're so darn mad at us anyway.
Yeah.
And and then they have a lock-in.
Yep.
So there's fun and frivolity, and then there's
lots of candy. I saw at least six bags of candy from Costco.
Yes, and a lot
when
of
you have
Jesus
students
stuff.
And six bags of candy. Man, oh man!
Yeah.
Every student gets 1/8 the candy. We send them home; they're happy. Four of my kids were here; they were very happy.
I did speak one of our youth representatives there, one of the adults, and they had some great conversations with young men about testimonies and Jesus and things like that. So a lot of spiritual stuff gets done too.
It seemed like it was a very good outreachy fun thing. We had, you said, I think you already said we had 48 kids.
48 kids who had brought 10 guests.
Man.
So non-churchy church people. So
high
that's
schoolers
cool.
and junior highs, hires love killing rats.
Well, it's just, it's new. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's even a sticker somewhere.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So we'll have to get some Ratmageddon stickers for our trucks.
Well, as I did say, it is the middle of Passion Week, and we are a little less than 24 hours out from our Good Friday service tomorrow. Mm. That should be fun. And then Resurrection Sunday.
I love it.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
This isn't on the questions podcast, but I thought because of the week that it is, we might get a consensus from the two voices of the questions podcast on what you think about what happened with Jesus while his body was in the grave.
Oh boy.
You know, there's a theology called the harrowing of hell.
Oh, do tell. Let me hear this.
The harrowing of hell view is that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, which would be referred to by some as Hades or by some others as Abraham's bosom, and that he preached to the captives there in that places and led them with him to paradise, shall we say.
Hmm.
And this would be referred to as the harrowing of hell. But what say you? What do you
think?
What
scriptural basis are they giving for that?
Well, actually, it does, depending on how you read it, have a scriptural basis. You have to kind of build the scriptural context from Ephesians and from Jesus' story in Luke about the rich man and Lazarus and those kind of things.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
No, okay, so that's an interesting concept too, because you know the gates of a city, that's where the elders would sit, and that's where judgments were made and where schemes and thoughts were made. So the gates of hell not prevailing is kind of like the leadership position or the seat of authority of hell will not prevail against the church.
Right. And I think sometimes Christians think of that as a defensive statement. It's actually an offensive statement. And that was preached at Caesarea, that park that place it was believed as the
Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah, they believed it was
the gates of hell.
Yeah, the gates of hell. Gehenna? No.
Well, Gehenna is the valley of Hinnom, the son of Hinnom, of the west side of Jerusalem.
Okay. Yeah. I never really thought much of it.
I'm of the view that Jesus did descend into what would be described as the place of Abraham's comfort, and that he brought those who had faith in the Old Testament, who were awaiting the coming of the Messiah, he leads them to heaven. So kind of the harrowing of hell thing. I'm pro. Thumbs up.
Okay. I haven't really thought much about it. I mean, to tell you the truth, after, you know, a big crucifixion day, I'd be taking a nap for 3 days. I'm just saying, you know, crucifixion's hard, man. This is not easy stuff. This is
all
not like on
the,
a plane
the body,
flight.
The body's not in the grave anymore.
Right. No, I get it.
I've been to the tombs. Both tombs.
They're empty.
Both tombs that are considered the tomb.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is the tomb? Do you think it's the one in Gordon's Calvary, or do you think it's the one at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre?
What's the one next to the bus station?
That would be Gordon's Calvary.
I'll go Gordon's. I like
that one's
that
pretty cool. Yeah. I kind of like that one.
And the rock formations and stuff. I know, and I don't really have a map in my head of you know, where everything was.
Yeah.
But I know that it had to be very near to the entrance, I would think, how the Romans work, to the entrance of the city where everybody could see. It had to be in a place where everybody would pass by.
See,
I
really like...
Because Rome loved good shock value.
I really like the Golgotha, Place of the Skull, Gordon's Calvary one. I like that one, because that's where all the Protestants like that one.
I taught at that one, yeah.
Yeah, me too. But I will say that there seems to be some good historical evidence for the Church of the Holy Sepulchre one. So, you know, it's like, you know who knows?
Jesus.
God knows. God knows. I don't know for sure. Yeah.
I've heard it both ways.
I just know that I've been to both tombs, and they're both empty. I can attest to the emptiness of the tombs. And the one at Gordon's Calvary says, he is not here. He is risen.
Mm.
And we will be talking
about
that.
What font do they use?
It's not papyrus.
Okay.
Good question, though.
I went and drove by that one church's sign again.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I was accurate in my representation. I got, no, that is a crummy font.
Yeah.
That is a lousy sign. And they must have ran it. That sign was tiny. It's a big church with a tiny sign. It's, the sign's like this
big. Which church are we talking about? Oh, you don't want me to know. Okay, never
mind. No, we don't go to that church. Right. They ordain women.
Oh, goodness gracious. But you're going to cause
issues. No, I drive by that church because to get home, and, yes, and no, I see I know, the sign, I know. And I'm like, come on, guys.
It's like a big church and a small sign.
That sign does not scream, we want you to
bring
people here.
Well, now I'm
going
to have to drive by and see the sign.
It doesn't scream, bring people here to hear about Jesus.
Does our sign scream, bring people to hear?
Yeah, it's big.
It's big.
It's big.
It's orange. I like
and
orange.
It's orange.
I got an orange Bible.
You know what? It's time to bring back the gorilla.
Can we get an orange gorilla?
Or an orange Darth Vader.
I don't know if that would quite work, but...
No. The orange gorilla might be good.
Yeah.
Should we explain where we're coming from on that? I bet a lot of our viewers
don't know about
what
this.
We're talking about.
Years ago, this would have been, what, 11 years ago? 10 years ago? We put a Darth Vader on top of the roof. It was Darth Vader, right?
Darth Vader.
On top of the office roof with a sign.
He was 20 foot high.
And the sign said what?
Your lack of faith disturbs me. Come to church.
See, I wanted us to put, come meet your father.
Well, we did. We changed it out.
Oh, okay.
And then that brought people to church. Like people came by and we had people come up to me and say, I saw that inflatable Darth Vader.
Well, see, the challenge
is... And he was holding a candy cane. I mean, it was at Christmas.
It is amazing to me how frequent I will meet people who they'll ask me, you know, they'll ask me, you know, what do you do? Well, I pastor a church. Yeah. What church do you pastor? And I'll tell them where it is. And they'll go, where is that? And I'll describe it. And they'll go, I didn't realize that was a church. It still boggles my mind how many people will drive past this place frequently. I have no idea it's a church. Now, I realize it doesn't look churchy.
No.
From the outside.
No, there's no steeples or anything. Yeah.
Maybe we need a steeple.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, remember we had
the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors.
Here's the people. Yeah.
And then we had I learned that when I was an Episcopalian.
20 foot high gorilla.
Did we get a gorilla? I don't remember.
Yeah, we had a gorilla and it said, life's hairy without Jesus. Come to church.
Why do I not remember the gorilla?
I have pictures of it.
All right. You'll have to show me this later.
And, you know, some people left the church over that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They told you they left
because of that? Yeah.
Huh.
I won't mention the person's name,
I'll call them and be like, seriously? Seriously.
They said, we saw that gorilla up there, this and that, and that was ridiculous and this
ridiculous.
And that.
Well, we
and
are like, ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Kind of like Mr. Collins.
You remember the other? Remember the other stunt? The,
Did you, okay, I just referenced, what movie did I just reference? I said Mr. Collins. Oh, he is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you know that there are some theaters that are on Saturday night playing Pride and Prejudice this Saturday night? My kids wanted to take their mom to see Pride and Prejudice in the theater.
The same movie we watched?
The Keira Knightley one from 2005. I guess this is the anniversary for the coming out. The 20-year anniversary of it coming out, so they're showing it in the theaters on Saturday night.
I should take my wife to that.
You should. My kids wanted to take my wife, but we already have dinner plans with some friends, so we can't go.
Okay.
He is ridiculous.
Okay. So remember, we got the bright idea. We got an angel outfit.
Oh, this was great.
And then a devil outfit. And the angel...
Side spinners.
Sign spinners. And we put them out in the deal there from the youth group. And the angel had a sign that says, come to church.
This is on El Norte, which gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah. And then the devil down the street had a sign that said, good job, see you later.
No, just keep going.
Just keep going. See you soon or something like that?
Yeah.
And
we had high schoolers be sign spinners.
Yes. Now, we miscalculated slightly.
Yeah.
Because the angel was a girl.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember this entirely.
It was, there were references made to Victoria's Secrets.
Oh, no.
No, yeah.
That's not good.
But she was brave. She could have kicked all their butts. But people were not that kind to the angel.
Yeah.
And then everybody was given high fives and thumbs up to the devil down the road, a few of them. But it was effective. Like, it actually made...
got people's attention.
It got people's attention, and it's like, it's kind of funny.
You know, there's
a good
chance. We
need to do it again.
Well, there's a good chance you and I will answer for that when we get to heaven, but we'll
I think...
What is that old saying? We'll do anything short of sin to try and get people to come to church.
Yeah, I will stand upon my head till my ears are turning red. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal. You don't know who that is.
I do, actually.
Cal Worthington and his dog Spot?
That's right. If you want a something.
If you want a better deal, go see Cal.
I remember that song.
You need a set of wheels, go see Cal. Buy a new car for your wife. She will love you all your life. Go see Cal. Go see Cal.
I know. I also will forever know where Pearson Ford is.
At Bellflower and
Pearson Ford. It stands alone at Fairmont and
El Cajon. That's right. Yeah. Worthington Ford and Bellflower.
How do you know you grew up in San Diego in the 1990s that you know those songs?
Oh, that and that overpass that's out there by El Cajon that they worked on forever that they finally fixed on the 125.
I don't know. This one.
The out there in East County. Oh no. Man, yeah, they worked on that for like 40 years.
Yeah, I don't know that one,
dude. In the news.
So, Monday.
Monday.
I was sitting in my office in the morning, and we had quite a shaking going on.
The earthquake. Going on.
And it was actually earthquake number two, because I sent out to the group text for the pastors on Sunday afternoon. Right. Did you guys feel that? There was an earthquake, like a 3.5 on Sunday afternoon. And then I still am not sure how big this earthquake was, because some things say it was 5.2 and some say 6.7. I'm going to opt for 5.2 because 6.7 is quite...
Yeah, large, that stuff starts falling down at 6.7.
So I think it was a 5.2, but it was pretty good.
And was it what time?
It was in the morning. It had to be about 10 a.m.
Something. I had an appointment to go somewhere. I was getting in the shower.
Ah.
And like... It's a new fear. I didn't have this fear before, but you know what? You do not want a house falling on you naked.
True.
That's just not good.
Okay, yeah. It was at 10:08 a.m.
Okay. And I put my right foot into the shower.
You put your right foot in.
And it started shaking, and I'm watching the glass doors on my shower move, and I'm like, nobody wants to see a cut up naked fat guy. Poor firefighters.
Goodness gracious.
And I ran out of the shower.
Yeah.
I turned it off.
Okay.
I ran out of the shower and threw some clothes on. And sat in the backyard.
Well, I was sitting right there in my office chair, and it started shaking, and things were like moving pretty good. And I was thinking, should I get under my desk? What should I do? And then it stopped. And I was like,
no,
right, I'm okay.
Desk is for a nuke. You don't get under your desk.
Well, yeah, because you'll definitely save yourself from the
radiation megaton, and everything.
The megaton bomb. Well, you know, the way that Rhonda Benedictus builds these tables, I think I would probably be safe.
It's at least 3.5 inches thick and weighs
this will hold up a roof. If it falls, it'll hold up a roof. So I'm getting underneath this.
I guarantee if the roof fell on this, it would hold.
Yes, I will be safe.
I guarantee
this is a very heavy duty table. I mean, this table weighs 300 pounds.
Oh, I know.
No, this up.
And it's steel. It's steel legs. Yeah. I mean, these tails are 4x4 steel legs. They are not. This table is not collapsing. Yeah,
it's very, very, very heavy.
So, yeah.
What is it with earthquakes around Easter? Sorry, wrong button there.
Wow. I don't know, and I.
Because do you remember
Yes.
We had an Easter earthquake probably 10 or so years ago. I remember that one. I was sitting in the car. We were on my way to my wife's aunt's house, and it started shaking. I was like, is there something wrong with the car? And then I looked, and you could see like the telephone or the lights, the traffic lights were shaking.
I think it's a marketing thing.
God's trying to get people's attention?
Oh, it's kind of like having a grill on your roof. Life's hairy without Jesus. Get to church.
Yeah.
It's a marketing thing.
There you go.
Everything shakes and this and that, and like, ooh. There are things beyond my control that could end my life. I probably should get to church.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's marketing.
Very, very much so. In other news.
Yeah, let me hear.
Pringles. Do you like Pringles?
I do.
Okay, this one's interesting. Pringles and Miller Lite just drop a beer-inspired chip. It is a Pringles chip that tastes like... did it taste like... Miller Lite, which I think would be gross.
I'm not a beer guy.
Beer can chicken.
Oh, I've had beer can chicken.
Grilled beer brat. So they are naturally and artificially flavored Pringles that taste like beer can chicken or grilled beer bratwurst. That just doesn't sound good.
Okay, you know the marketing person decided they would have Dylan... Mulvaney.
Yeah, with the that wasn't Miller Lite though. That was
I know. That was Bud Budweiser.
Okay,
yeah. They probably got a job over at Miller Lite.
Oh, they're trying to fix it.
They're playing a little safer.
Well, try again.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Pringles flavor?
I just like the sour cream and onion, those pretty good too.
My favorite is salt and vinegar.
Oh.
Here we go again, talking about food. I'm sorry.
Salt and vinegar. You know, there's salt and vinegar chips right now over in the youth room.
Are there?
Well, I had my bike guy thing last night.
Yeah.
And so we did Texas dogs after the ride. And I asked the guys, one guy to bring some potato salad or macaroni salad, and somebody to bring chips. And they brought salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, I love them.
And they were delicious.
Once you pop, you can't stop. That's the
There you go. Right? I like the way Pringles stack.
You just can't eat one.
That's right.
The problem is if you're not careful with your Pringles, then you just get Pringles crumbs at the bottom of your thing.
Yes.
And it is very hard for my big hands to get the Pringles at the bottom of the tube.
There's a saying about that.
Is there?
First world problems. Yeah, first world problems. My hand's too fat to get in the Pringles can.
But I will say this. You know,
that's why you dump them out.
No, but mentioning first world problems, you know what's funny about Pringles? I mean, I don't buy Pringles very frequently, mm-hmm. but you know when I do tend to get Pringles? When I'm traveling for some reason, and I can remember sitting in an airport in Saudi Arabia, eating a can of salt and vinegar Pringles for
some reason.
Okay,
first of all, they fit in a cup holder.
It's traveling in Pringles.
Road snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Pringles are good. Pringles are good. Not as good as the Trader Joe's elote chips.
I don't know if I've had these. You mentioned them before. Okay, I don't think I've had them yet.
I will bring some, but what I'll do is I'll just put like four.
Now, elote, that's the
corn.
Corn, yeah.
I'll put like four on a plate, then I'll wrap them up and put them in another place because you will wipe out part of the bag. It is so good.
Well, that is the problem with most of these snacks. They are created on
purpose make you want more
to
snack.
Make you eat lots of them.
No, I don't want that.
They are addictive substances.
Yeah.
You know, they basically, the people who used to make cigarettes went into the snack food business. It's actually
chips.
Real. For real.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what was the, in Jonah, Mr. Twisties?
Oh, that's right. Was that the Jonah one?
I think so. They go into Nineveh.
Fish slappers.
Yeah, they go into Nineveh, the Mr. Twisties.
For those of you who've never watched the VeggieTales, you need to get on board with the VeggieTales.
Make it happen, Captain.
Have your grandkids come into the VeggieTales thing yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got them all. They love them. Silly songs with Larry.
I love my lips. Oh, where is my hairbrush?
Where is my hairbrush?
Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That song is great. The cheeseburger song is really good.
The one about the bunny?
The bunny. The bunny.
Those are great.
Ooh, I love the bunny. Yep.
That was what, Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah.
All these biblical lessons.
We're busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what we have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy. Much, much too busy for you.
I love that one.
I just love the pirates that don't do anything.
The pirates who don't do anything.
Yeah.
We are the pirate. Did you ever hear when the punk band, I think it's Reliant K or something, they did that?
No,
did
really?
That song. Oh, yeah.
Dude, oh, now I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. We are the pirates who don't do anything. Yeah, it's such a good one.
Oh.
VeggieTales were awesome.
I saw one the other day that had the Veggie Tones.
Have you seen the VeggieTales that's the same story as It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
It's really good.
Check it out.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
They did a good job with that. Too bad Disney bought them.
Did Disney really buy
them? I believe Disney bought them. And,
huh. You know, it's actually kind of a sad story because when they were creating the Jonah movie,
right,
they actually had technology that was beating the next, you know, biggest animation house in digital animation, which was Pixar.
Right.
And they were ahead of their time, but they got ahead of their skis on money. And money. But interesting. Anyways, I don't have a lot of other news. Apparently, there's some astronomers in, you know, England who, using the James Webb Space Telescope, they think they may have found a planet that's very similar to Earth in its composition of chemicals, and so it probably has life on it. So, you know, we're about to find aliens. It's going
to
be awesome.
I think it's a great place to send some people. Check
it out. Know, those aliens need Jesus, too. So cross-connection on this new planet is probably...
Everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
It's in the cards.
You know? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So a couple questions.
Yes, sir. You. This is the Questions Podcast.
Yes. What did you think of the all-female, I don't even know, is it really a space flight? I guess it was.
Okay, do you know what the Kármán line is?
No.
The Kármán line, and it's not that old Kármán musician.
Okay. Do you remember Kármán? Yes, I do. Immediately, I went either there or Kármán San Diego or, yeah.
The Karman line, actually Karman with a K, is the point at which NASA and other space agencies. Yeah. No. It's the point at which NASA and other space agencies established that this is, you have become an astronaut by crossing the Karman line. It's 100 kilometers above the mean sea level. So if you get to 100 kilometers up, then effectively you are considered to be a astronaut. So Blue Origin, I got a lot of opinions about this. I mean, you know I'm a bit of a SpaceX fan.
Yeah.
If I could, I would invest in them, but they're not a public company, so I can't. But I think they're pretty awesome. You know who else who thinks they're pretty awesome is our friend Eli,
Prince used of to Samoa. Work for, yes.
Yeah. He worked for SpaceX for a while. But anyway, so there is this head-to-head between the two billionaires, Jeff Bezos, who started Amazon, and Elon Musk, who started SpaceX, and Jeff Bezos has now started Blue Origin. He started it a number of years ago.
He's losing.
He kind of is. But so the big thing that Blue Origin has been doing for the last several years has been sending people up, and then they immediately fall down, but they cross the Karman line, so they become astronauts.
So it's like space tourism.
It's exactly what it is. Okay. So in this capsule from Blue Origin, they did send up a group of all women. So it's being touted by the media as the first all-female space flight.
But do they really fly anything?
They don't fly anything.
I mean, I don't see Katy Perry math.
It's like the coolest Knott's Berry Farm ride around.
Okay, because I mean...
Free falling down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? You get to experience weightlessness.
Tom, that's just Tom a side Petty. Note. That's a Tom Petty song.
Oh, for sure. I know Tom.
But...
I knew Tom.
You knew Tom. But... John Mayer,
okay,
did it.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid he did it better.
Well,
that's rare.
Okay, but here's the problem. I don't think it's all that hard to do some of these songs better that came out from these guys who were in the last part of the 20th century. Because quite frankly, a lot of these musicians did not have good voices. Like they wouldn't have made it on Who's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, or the American Idol. They would have been kicked off by the mean British guy.
You don't think Dylan would have made it?
Dude, Bob Dylan can hardly sing.
I know.
He can't sing himself out of a karaoke shop.
So
I know I'm going to get some haters on that one.
Funny story, because my daughter, you know, is a musician and all that, but when she was young, I go, you should listen to Dylan. And she goes, what do you mean?
He's a great songwriter.
Yeah, I go, he writes really great lyrics.
Didn't he get a Nobel Peace Prize?
I don't know.
I think
so, doesn't everybody get those?
No.
So anyway, but listen to his lyrics. They were really appropriate for the times, and his music kind of changed people or definitely people. His music resonated with people. I go, by the way, he can't sing.
Yeah.
Don't let that throw you off.
Bob Dylan won the 2016 Nobel Prize in Literature. He was awarded the prize for, quote, having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition.
Hmm.
He did not show up to receive the award.
Yeah. So anyway, she comes back to me a few days later and goes, you forgot to tell me he couldn't play the guitar either. But she goes, I get the lyrics. But she goes, he couldn't play the guitar. I just thought it was funny.
He did have some great lyrics.
Yeah.
But it's not surprising to me that John Mayer sang it better.
Oh, anyway.
We were talking about the Karman line and falling.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's like all this controversy and I'm like, A bunch of gals flew up in not big enough spacesuits. They went up in spandex spacesuits, purple spacesuits, and then they rode back down. And it's like, okay.
Once again, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
I know, but it was like, I'm like, okay, was this a fashion show? What was the deal? Because everybody's hair was done in all this.
Well, as it should be.
Yeah, but I mean.
You're going to be they on didn't the front even page wear, of a whole
bunch
of newspapers.
Did they wear a helmet?
You don't need to. Okay, it's a nice pressurized cabin. It's a nice flight.
Yeah. So it's that's what I thought. My first thought is astronauts, because astronauts are like athletes, Navy
not
SEALs.
Anymore, not anymore.
That can do calculus in their head. They're like really smart too.
I mean, I will say the upside of this whole thing, this whole space tourism thing, it's just like this TV on my wall. Once upon a time, you had to have a very high net worth to buy these thin screen TVs.
Yeah.
And now everybody, I mean, this costs what, $300 at Costco now? These things used to cost tons and tons and tons of money.
Thousands.
So these very wealthy people are paying to do space tourism. And one day, maybe I'll get to go to space and it's not going to cost as much as they paid. And listen, I will totally do that.
Maybe we should start a...
But I want to ride SpaceX and not Blue Origin.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe we should start a GoFundMe to send Miles to the moon or something.
No, let's not do that.
The K-Line. Send him to the K-Line.
I would feel bad about that, but someday, I would like to ride a SpaceX rocket to space.
Well, what if there were some haters that would send you there?
I'll take it.
Okay, there you go.
If they want to pay for it.
All right.
Haters going to hate.
There you go.
All right. Do we have any questions?
Oh, I guess we do. Peradventure. Here we go.
I think that was the cold blooded love section of the...
I was going to make some comment about them definitely not knowing how to do calculus. But anyway.
I don't know how to do calculus.
I don't either, but I'm not an astronaut.
I'm not going to even try.
And you're never going to see me in a little tiny spandex base
suit.
Well,
praise Jesus. Yeah, but I will say, my daughter, she'll come to me sometimes with a math question. I'm like, you got to ask your sister. Because Addison's like a math magician. I am not.
Yeah.
I can tell you about the Bible.
My daughter, Emily,
she's got math magician. Not me.
All right. Okay. If sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3:4.
Yeah, I think you mumbled just like Elliot.
If sin is lawlessness.
There we go.
1 John 3:4.
Which is exactly what it says in 1 John 3:4.
Yeah. Then can you explain how it is true that sin isn't always doing the wrong thing? This is a quotation.
From my message.
It may be the right thing in the wrong way or at the wrong time. Isn't sin always doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, but the wrong thing could be doing the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. For example, let's say you're a happy couple, but you're not married yet. And let's say you do things that only married couples are supposed to do, like eat wedding cake. Then you're doing something that's not necessarily an evil thing, but you're doing a good thing at the wrong time in the wrong way, and that could be sin for you.
Hang on a second.
Fire in the fireplace is good.
Are we...
Fire in the living room is bad.
Is it?
As long as it's in the fireplace is great.
Okay. Because for a second there,
I
thought we were talking about...
Boat on the water, good. Water in the boat, bad.
Yeah. See, I thought we were talking about sex for a minute.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Oh, is that what we're doing? Okay.
Well, I said wedding cake. Yeah, I was trying to bring it down.
Okay. I was just wondering. Because
I'll tell you right now.
There better be some fire in the fireplace.
The second question here that we have here today, this was, I have an explanation of trying to bring this down a little bit Sunday as well.
So
I knew on Sunday, because it was communion Sunday that we would have youth in the sanctuary. So I was trying to say things without saying things.
The children.
Yes.
But there's no children to listen to the podcast. So, I see what you're saying.
All you said is people that listen to this
sex
with their
outside
kids.
Of marriage is a bad thing.
Yes.
Sex inside of marriage is a good thing.
That's right.
So groovy.
It's the right and good thing that God made. It's just at the wrong time and in the wrong way. And there's plenty of other things that are like that.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm one of those people who believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would not have always been forbidden. I think there may have been a time where God would have allowed his people to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Why would it be there? Yeah.
That's right. But it was the wrong time.
So,
the wrong way.
And I mean, I've heard these two passages taught together quite a few times.
Which two?
The passage you spoke on the weekend, which was Luke
4, temptation.
With Genesis 3, I believe it is.
Yes,
the temptation of Eve, because there's a lot of correlation between there.
Crossover.
And you alluded to those things.
Yep.
And so I was waiting to see if you were going to include that this weekend. So
did I?
You did.
I did.
Well, you alluded to
them.
I made some
passing references.
Yes. You didn't go verse by verse to connect each one, which
you
wasn't necessarily
why?
Necessary.
Well, you want to know why?
Why?
Because I looked at the clock and it said, you have 7 minutes. And I went, oh my goodness, where did all my time go? And I was I guess I can't talk about
and
this.
And it's so
much
different on the questions podcast because we never have long intros.
Yeah.
Yeah, never. So.
And who cares how long we go on the questions
it
podcast?
It doesn't matter. You can always turn it off. Yeah, there you go.
Or listen to it at double speed.
So we answered that question.
Speaking of double speed, YouTube this week added triple speed to their videos.
Plaid speed.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. Now I can listen to them all the faster.
Hey, I was having trouble playing the podcast slow the other day.
Depends on what app you were using.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you ever want a good laugh, you just listen to us at half speed.
We can try it right now. Just listen to us in half speed.
It'll be groovy.
This is so
we both sound
fun.
When we
welcome to the questions podcast. Have you seen that movie with the sloths?
Yes, they nailed the DMV people.
Oh, so good. What movie was that? It's Animal something or other.
Zootopia? No.
Yeah, I think you're right. Zootopia.
Is that what it was?
Might have been.
Yeah, it was great.
Welcome to the questions podcast.
I was told we both sound
stoned. This is going to be so much fun.
Ooh.
Okay, anyways, I think I answered question number
one. I guarantee you answered that one. Okay, number two.
This one's great, too.
You're teaching on the quotation.
Lust of the eyes.
The lust of the eyes. Chinon, you got the lust of the eyes.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Seemed to be skirting around the issue, but alluding to pornography. There was no skirting involved. It is, I said that.
Pornography.
Alluding to pornography. Is it sinful?
Is it sinful?
I saw a clip, video clip, where Dennis Prager said that there is some way that it is not wrong or sinful thoughts.
I got thoughts.
I got thoughts.
Do you remember this video?
I've heard. Yeah, I think you showed me a section of
it. A little bit of context. Jordan Peterson, who I like, Jordan Peterson was doing a series on Exodus, which I don't know if it's still available on for free on YouTube, but it was for a while. He was doing a series on Exodus, and they were talking about the commandment. I'm pretty sure they were talking about the commandment against adultery. And Jordan had a panel of, I think, eight other guys, or nine total. And some of them were Christian theologians. Some of them were, there were some Jewish individuals, Dennis Prager being one of them on the panel. And then there were some other people that were just kind of like secular philosophers, if you will. And so they're talking about the book of Exodus. And so they get into the discussion about adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery, which is the fifth commandment, I believe. No, that's honor your father and your mother. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. So they get into this discussion about the New Testament teaching. And of course, Dennis Prager is Jewish, so he doesn't believe in the New Testament.
Oy,
but they. Jesus says, you have heard that it has been said of them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. This is Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. And this stirred a conversation in which Prager did say that... In Judaism, or at least his view of Judaism, he said that Judaism is a behaviorist religion and is only concerned about your behavior, and so does not have commands, if you will, against things that are, you know, kind of in the heart, like covetousness, or which I have a real hard time with because it says thou shalt not covet. That's right. The 10th commandment. He actually didn't say covetousness. This was actually a question I had when he was talking about this. But he was saying there is no commandment against lust in Judaism because it's a behaviorist thing. And so he tried to make an argument that pornography is not always bad, to which I say, I'm sorry, I disagree.
Theological gymnastics.
Well, he's not a Christian. He's Jewish. And I am sure you've met some Jewish individuals over the years who kind of have some interesting ways of viewing or interpreting Old Testament scripture.
Yes.
Especially when you meet Reformed Jews.
Yes.
Reformed Jews, okay, Reformed Christians tend to be the most like steadfast to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Reformed Jews are totally not.
Yeah, it's the other way around.
They have the most liberal view of the Bible.
Well, and I saw this as it played out in culture because I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. Most of the Jewish parents I knew could care less that their kids were out sleeping around and doing this and that. Could care less.
They just had to make sure that they married a Jewish girl.
But you married a Jewish girl or a Jewish boy. That was all there was to it. Yeah. But they could...
No Gentiles.
They could go playing with the Gentiles all day long. And it just... That was interesting. And I guess that would be the word. To me, that was not... I'm like, really? Like, I thought you guys were supposed to be strict, this and that, but no.
Yeah.
And... Because ultra-Orthodox Jews are really strict about that stuff.
But I will say, so on Sunday...
Sunday.
When this questioner asks, like, you seemed like you were not, like, just straight up coming out and talking about pornography, but you were clearly alluding to pornography. Yes. I recognized that there was mixed company, and there would be junior hires in the room. And so I didn't necessarily want to, hey, let's bring up something that maybe they're not aware of. Now, that said, I realize that the average kid in America sees pornography for the first time before they're 11 years old. which is a horrible stat on our brokenness and fallenness of our culture in our day. But
well, that was a challenge because you and I were both youth pastors.
Yeah,
when this was available on the internet, started to become available.
It is 10 million times worse today.
Yeah.
And because now all this social media stuff, like there's no way
right.
I would let my kids have social media like Instagram or any of those sorts of things. So they do not have public facing social media, right. Thankfully. They will not.
As long as
I'm paying them.
Yeah. I could see it was doing damage back then.
Yeah.
So
it's way worse today.
Feel like you were skirting the issue. It's like you have to be appropriate for the audience.
Yeah, I was trying to say something without saying it entirely, like right up front.
Yeah.
But yes, it is sinful.
Yeah. So that's easy.
Yeah.
So now I got a kind of a question to that question.
Yeah.
Because I have had, typically it's the woman in a relationship and her husband has an issue with pornography, and they're wanting to leave, saying that that's committing adultery and that they're out. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think that it needs to be recognized and understood that the way that a woman responds to the betrayal of that
mm-hmm.
is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
That said, do I think that the act of looking at these things equals in the same way physical adultery? I don't.
Right.
But I don't want to in any way give a loophole for someone that they seem to think that it's okay. It's not.
No.
And so, yeah, I do not see a one-to-one equivalence between physical adultery or even, let's say that the relationship between a guy and this affair doesn't move into the area of actual sexual
right.
union, you can still be guilty of adultery in that relationship there.
Yeah.
But it's not a one-to-one equivalence with pornography. And yet, I want to make sure that we make the point that this is uber bad.
Right.
And should not be. It is something that will destroy your soul.
I was going to say, it rots your brain, rots your soul.
It really does. And it is sexual immorality. Fascinating that the word translated sexual immorality in the Greek is porneia.
Right.
And so that pornography is porneia. It is sexual immorality. And Paul talks about it being a sin against your own soul.
Right.
So yes, you are destroying your soul and you will destroy your physical intimacy with your spouse.
Right.
And you will destroy your spouse if this is something you are doing.
Right. Bad news.
Bad news.
Yeah. And these are the stuff that we deal with in modern ministry. It's crazy. All right. So, yeah, Dennis Prager's not my pastor.
Yeah. There are a lot of great things I like about Dennis. And I would say pray for Dennis Prager because he had a very bad injury at the end of last year. And it's still not been publicly reported exactly how he's doing. It seems that he broke his neck. And when he broke his neck at the level that he did, it paralyzed him. But it also paralyzed his respiratory system. And so he was without oxygen for a period of time. And, it's not been fully reported. He has not made a full recovery, though he's still alive.
He needs Jesus.
He definitely needs Jesus. He has a lot of very close Christian friends. In fact,
good.
A friend of mine knows him personally.
Oh, wow.
And who is a Christian pastor. So, cool. Yeah.
Good. All right, three. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. John 16:3. I thought the Holy Spirit was God, so why does he not speak on his own authority? Why would he need to hear something from the Father or Jesus in order to speak? Wouldn't he know what they know?
The answer to that question is yes. Yes, he would. I think what we should recognize, and the way that I would approach kind of thinking about this is, within the Trinity, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. This is how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed in the Scripture. They are all equally God. They are separate and distinct three persons within the Godhead. This is the most challenging conversation in theology, has to do with the nature of God. And in our human minds, I'm perfectly willing to say that our finite human minds cannot fully grasp the totality of the nature of God, other than that it is revealed in Scripture that God is one, there is one God. and that he exists in three persons distinctly. And these are not just different modes. That's modalism, Patrick. These are not different modes in which God exists, that he exists as the Holy Spirit at some times, and then he exists as the Son at other times. That's not this. God is fully God at all times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And yet within the Trinity, there is a fascinating submission that takes place within the Trinity, where the Son glorifies the Father and the Holy Spirit does not, as this passage says, speaks on his own authority. But all that to say, what we can trust then is when the Holy Spirit inspires Scripture, as he has, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stirred holy men of God to write these things, as Peter says. When he does, we can trust that this is the authoritative word of God. So the Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide, intimately connected to the Father and the Son. And when the Holy Spirit gives forth his word, there's no question about whether or not this is God who is speaking. So can we fully grasp and understand everything about the nature of God? No, because we are finite creatures. And so we don't fully grasp the perfection of the nature of God. I hope that answers it, but this is one of those really challenging questions.
I'm going to call it answered.
I hope so.
Number four, you mentioned Satan left Jesus, quote, until an opportune time. What was that opportune time in Jesus' life?
Well, I think there's two ways to answer this, at least. One is the opportune time probably came a number of other times
over
the course of his ministry, where there were other temptations that were brought to him by the enemy. So I think we can trust that there were other temptations that came to him that are outside of these three that we read about in Luke chapter 4. But I also think one of the very specific opportune times happened on this day that we celebrate here, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane.
And Lord, let this cup pass.
That's right. Yeah. So Jesus, in his humanity, is being tempted there in the Garden of Gethsemane to not yield to or submit to the Father's will. Again, here we get into this very interesting discussion of the triune nature of God. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus yields and submits his earthly humanity will, and he says, not my will, but yours be done. So I would say that is one instance in which there's an opportune time when the enemy comes in and tries to tempt Jesus. But there were probably other times that just not recorded in the scriptures during his ministry when there were other opportune times that the enemy tried to come at him. All that to say, we need to be aware that there are many, many, many opportune times in our lives where the enemy comes to us to try to tempt us. And some of those make sense, like when we're tired, when we're sick, when we're hungry. But others are when, like, we feel like we got this and we just had a victory and
right,
we're open season, and take heed when you think you stand lest you fall.
And I think that's probably more common than any of them.
I would assume so, yeah.
Well, that exchange, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, Peter's like, he'd think he's saying something good. And like, are you trying to tempt Jesus here? He doesn't even realize it.
Right.
And yeah, there were some times.
Right.
So, wow, good question. Okay, number five, in John 8:33, it says, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? We're not slaves in Egypt, and God used Moses to set them free? They must have left something. Were they not slaves in Egypt, and God used Moses to set them free? Question mark.
Yeah, so
we're not talking about that kind of slavery.
Context is key and important in this passage.
Yes.
Jesus, John chapter 8, is having a conversation. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son. So what exactly is going on in this conversation here with Jesus? They are somewhat overlooking the fact that they were slaves in Egypt here during this period of time. I think that you have a situation in this conversation with Jesus where you have a very proud people who they were at that very moment under occupation for the Romans, and yet they still had this steadfast nationalistic, patriotic, yeah. You know, we bow to no one kind of thing.
Right.
And Jesus wasn't really talking about a physical slavery to Rome or to Egypt. He's talking here about a spiritual slavery to sin and death. And that's really what he's talking about in the freedom that he is proclaiming. Because when he's talking about knowing the truth and the truth shall set you free, you know, even if today you live under the worst possible autocratic dictatorial regime and have no physical earthly freedom, in Christ you can be free.
So you're talking about old married guy. No, I'm teasing.
Or maybe the poor married woman.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the freedom that Jesus brings first and foremost.
That makes me a young gal with four kids. Yeah. No freedom. Yeah.
And the most fundamental form of liberty is Christ sets us free from sin and death. And so, whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yeah. Well, and
for freedom, he has set you free.
But, and also, they're still under the burden of the law at that point.
Truly.
That's it. They got responsibilities, man.
Yeah.
Very burdensome. Not so joyful.
Yeah, they were a very nationalistic, patriotic, independence-oriented group of people. But the bigger problem that they were under was the oppression of sin, the slavery of sin and death. And a little self-deception going on maybe there.
Well, let's just say they might have missed the whole Jesus bus.
Not all of them.
No, not all of them. But they were
the first Christians were Jews.
Right. No, I get it. But they were missing the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
In some of these instances.
May we not do the same?
No. No. I'm kind of excited about Good Friday and Easter.
Yeah, me too. But I'm also kind of excited about salt and vinegar chips. I'm gonna have to go see if the kids in the youth ministry saved me any of those suckers.
Well, no. I didn't bring them over for them. I've just brought them over after they left.
They're
hermetically sealed, hopefully.
Good. No, I wonder if any of those bags of candy from Costco are still left, because there might be some Reese's peanut butter cups in there.
There probably could, but we're not eating those yet.
Wait, but I mean, we're kind of at the end of the whole thing.
When does that end? Easter?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. You made some vow of, you know, Nazarene vow.
I only vowed against X. I have not been looking at Twitter.
Okay.
I have been off of Twitter now as of yesterday for what? 6-7 weeks?
How's it working for you?
Light as a feather.
You jonesing?
Light as a feather. No, actually, I
want you to know that I have been off Twitter for 61 years. I have never been on Twitter.
But you got an IG account. You got the gram.
It's inactive.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah, because it was linked to my Facebook. I got off of Instagram because I was getting a lot of like...
bad things people soliciting your attention.
Well, it was like... But some of the subject matters that would pop up were like kind of nasty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be looking at this. This is not.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of a lot of the social media, but the Twitter thing, you know, I do realize I'm not as up on all the news going on.
Okay. So
I don't
know
what's happening.
Okay. Now I have Facebook.
Yeah.
But I spy on our parishioners with it.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do.
You got the marketplace.
I love marketplace. I have to say, I love marketplace. There's, if you want to buy something, there's, forget Craigslist. It's hardly anything on there anymore.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Well, we hope to see all of you at noon mañana, the Good Friday, and on Sunday. We have a sunrise service.
Ish. Sunrise-ish service.
We always have it.
Beautiful sunrise-ish
service. It's at 7:30 every Sunday.
We are more sunrise-ish than anybody.
And then we have our normal 9 and 11.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
All glorious.
Right. Do you have any famous last words?
I don't, actually.
Friday, it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming.
There you go. I love it.
We will see you on Sunday. Goodbye.